And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is staying ahead of the pack. Each of my guests is helping us find ways to stay ahead of others at work, in arguing, and also in traveling. My first guest is a former business reporter and editor. We discussed why certain visionary business leaders stay 10 steps ahead of the rest of us. My next guest loves stories, in particular, stories in and about facts. And that's what really excites her. So studying religion, especially the Bible, allows her to live and to work between the facts and the stories. We're going to discuss her latest book, which is titled Bible Babble. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Kristen Swenson is an associate professor of religious studies at Virginia Commonwealth University. She was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota. And this is kind of an interesting and varied background. She studied biology at St. Olaf College, which is a small liberal arts Lutheran college in southern Minnesota. After traveling to the Middle East, however, for a semester, she added religious studies major and continued to focus simultaneously on the sciences. Kristen worked as a paleobiologist for a couple of terms, and then later at a semester at University of Minnesota, she worked in the pathology lab studying wound healing. After graduation, she shifted her focus to religious studies, earning her master's and her PhD degrees from Boston University's in the history and literature of ancient Israel. Kristen has been teaching religious studies at VCU for over a decade, and she recently earned tenure. She also teaches about the Bible and religion in general to people of all ages, ethnicities, religions, and levels of expertise. She lives now in Richmond, Virginia, although I think she told me she lives now in Charlottesville in an old house with her husband and their pets. Welcome to the show, Kristen. How are you today?
Thanks, Billy. I'm doing great.
Well, we're glad to have you today. Love the title of your book, Bible Babble, Making Sense of the Most Talked About Book of All Time. And let's face it, there's no disputing it. The Bible is the most influential book in history. Whether you believe it's fact or fiction or fantasy, the Bible is quoted and often misquoted by clergy, lay people, politicians alike. In fact, in your book, you say that 84% of the U.S. population considers the Bible to be holy. So let's start with the basics. Is the Bible the Word of God?
The basics.
Yes.
Yeah, it depends on what you mean by that.
You sound like a politician.
Yeah, we know that the Bible comes to us from people and developed over a long period of time. Now, for a lot of people, that collection of texts, the biblical book, the Bible itself, is the Word of God. They understand that to be their sacred authoritative text. And so for them, thinking about the role of human beings is as people doing God's work in making God's word. Now, so again, it would depend on whom you ask.
Okay. Well, now, you mentioned that the book, the Bible, was written over a long period of time. So, and it wasn't written by any one person. It was contributions from a number of different people writing different books of the Bible. So I guess it's hard for me to imagine how can this combination, this amalgam of different works from different people, be considered the word, the literal word of God, all brought into one place.
Yeah. It's that would be a matter of faith. For some people, they imagine God's working in and through these people over time and continuing then to speak through these texts to believers. The biblical texts, as you know, developed over a long period of time. And so the books that we have and the collection that we have doesn't read like a single book, such as we're familiar with in our modern books today.
Yes.
This would be staying ahead of the pack. To know that gets you ahead of the pack right off the bat. That is to understand that the Bible and appreciate that it is a collection. The word Bible actually means something like little library.
Hmm.
That it's a collection of books. And though many of those books are the collected works, if you will, or the collected contributions of a number of people, even in an individual book. And so you have a lot of voices in the Bible. And sometimes perspectives shift, change without warning. Sometimes the Bible biblical text will focus on something we may not be particularly interested for a long, long time. Take, for example, the 613 commandments in the, in the first few books, and then it won't sometimes deal with some of the things we'd really like to know more about. For instance, where Cain got his wife, that first among the first human beings, according to that story, where would he have gotten a wife if he was the only child of the first couple left remaining? But the Bible doesn't answer those kinds of questions for us. So it's a challenging book for people to read straight through without some kind of background information about it. And with Bible Babble, I hope to provide some of that background information so that people could make sense of it for themselves. And then also show some of the ways in which these texts and characters, some of the places that are so important in the Bible, show up in popular culture. The Bible is all around us, and as you know, it's incredibly influential. And, of course, in politics and public discourse, but also in the world of entertainment. And it's good for us to know a little bit about the context of the texts that show up in popular culture.
No, I think it's great. We're talking to Kristen Swenson, everybody. We're talking about her book, Bible Babble. And you say that Bible Babble really does give an historical context for a lot of the stories that are in there. And one that just immediately comes to mind, you state in Bible Babble that the flood story was actually lifted from the Mesopotamians. So give us the context behind the flood story, because obviously Christians weren't the first and only people to have this idea.
Yeah, I certainly am not the only one to have come up with this. It reflects an archaeological discovery of a text. Actually, we have several texts from the ancient Near East that shed light on the biblical stories that we have. And there is a story from the ancient Near East, Gilgamesh, that includes within it a story very, very like our biblical one, almost word for word in a couple of places. And so we suspect then that the biblical writers were influenced by their culture, by the literary culture of their environment, And so, but that shouldn't be tremendously shocking to us if we take a step back and think about how literature in any context, in any culture, develops. It's a product of that place and time. Now, it is, you know, the human kind of working with and through their ideas about that place and time, but literatures reflect their context, and the Bible is the same, and you can still, as a person of faith, understand God's part in that, God to be working in and through that, but it shouldn't surprise us that there are biblical texts then that reflect other ancient Near Eastern literatures.
Interesting.
Yeah, that flood story is one of them.
And that is just one of the examples. Now, Kristen, one of the things that I find interesting in the Bible is that there are some contradictions, or at least some puzzlements. You mentioned where Cain got his wife and that sort of stuff. But let's take a look at some of the Bible teachings on some subjects in particular. And if you could, help us to get some context around them. And the first one I'm going to start with, because you are a woman, is women in the Bible. Give us some context, because women in the Bible, there's Eve in the Garden of Eden who is tempted by the serpent and then leads man into mortal sin. Women have really conflicted roles in the Bible. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I have a chapter, actually, that deals with famous women in the Bible, like a chapter that deals with famous men in the Bible. But in the chapter that I devote to women characters in the Bible, I do something a little different than in the men chapter, and that is I talk a little bit about feminist criticism. That is the benefits, the challenges that a feminist critique of biblical texts have given to us in our ways of thinking about those texts. One thing that we know right off the top is that these biblical texts come out of a patriarchal culture, so we're back to that cultural context, but the social context out of which all of the texts come over this long period of time was patriarchal. It was dominated by an idea about the distinctions between men and women that prioritized men. And so that's something that we see running through all of these biblical texts. But it doesn't mean that in every one, women are portrayed as bad, evil, or simply ignored. There are some very interesting and rather intriguing and some full pictures of women within texts in the Old Testament, also called Hebrew Bible, and women in the New Testament. So we have, for instance, Deborah, this fantastic character in the Old Testament, who is a judge, more than just a legislator. She was the military leader and the religious leader of this ancient Israelite community. So, and she's just dropped in the story, actually, a story in the book, biblical book of Judges, so that's the title of it, without any, the biblical narrators don't say anything like, wow, and there was this weird time when we actually had a woman as a judge. She just dropped in, like, well, it's perfectly normal. And so I think the Bible continues to surprise us with some of what it assumes and presumes as normal, what it takes for granted, if you will, and is unapologetic about its disagreements with itself, if you will. So again, when we think about it as developing over a long period of time, I think that helps us get a handle on why there would be these kinds of disagreements. But still, it was put together even at a later date, and the folks responsible for that final form must surely have been aware of these disagreements, disparities, the silences that we wish were filled in, and yet they remain, which is a really, I think, it's a wonderful thing for us. It invites us to engage with those texts and to bring our own questions and argument into the mix.
Oh, great. We're talking to Kristen Swenson, everybody. Her book, Bible Babble, Making Sense of the Most Talked About Book of All Time. And in the setup for this, Kristen, I did say that this is probably the most quoted and misquoted book of all time. So tell me, in what ways are people using the Bible today as sort of a combative weapon in their arguments?
Yeah, I actually devote a chapter to controversial issues in the book. And in that chapter, what I try to do is simply show what biblical texts people appeal to make their case, sometimes on either sides of the same issue, without myself telling exactly what I think, you know, we should finally believe. But instead, I want people to make up their own minds and to see how people arrive at the conclusions they do using particular biblical texts. So, for instance, I have a section on abortion. You see people demonstrating at women's clinics against abortion, holding Bibles, showing that they presume that this word of God forbids abortion. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that requires a woman to carry a baby to term. There is nothing in the Bible that explicitly forbids abortion. Instead, it's the way that people read certain texts that allows them to arrive at that conclusion. And one of those texts is one of the commandments, so that famous set of Ten Commandments, and one of those is, thou shalt not kill. That word translated kill can also mean murder. And so there we get all of that debate about where life begins, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order that a person reading biblical text in a certain way might arrive at that conclusion. But of course, people who are pro-choice can look to the Bible and say, well, there's nothing here that explicitly forbids abortion. And instead, there is concern about quality of life and human dignity and so on. So in that chapter, I seek to just show readers how people arrive at these different conclusions, appealing to different texts, dealing with homosexuality, again, abortion, creationism versus evolution is also in there. The prosperity gospel, does God want us to have a lot of money, or should we follow this Jesus command to give everything away and adopt a life of poverty?
Hmm.
So, some real questions that people wrestle with who take this text to be authoritative for their lives. It's challenging to figure out sometimes exactly what the Bible says.
Well, and you're talking about some of the thorniest issues that mankind faces. We're talking to Kristen Swenson, author of the book Bible Babble. And Kristen, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know you've tried to keep yourself out of the book, but I'm going to ask you, what did you get out of writing Bible Babble?
Yeah, well, one thing is, shows my geeky academic nature, and that is that I had never really thought so much about the importance of the Septuagint. Again, this is totally geeky and academic, but the Septuagint is an ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. It's really important because it informed the New Testament. The New Testament, depending on the Old Testament, read its Old Testament in translation, those New Testament writers. So that was a really interesting thing. A little less geeky, one of the things that was fun for me and was constantly intriguing and interesting was discovering the ways that pop culture has adopted these biblical texts. It was easy to do on the Internet. There's so many ways of finding this information out online. But it was amazing to me to see how tremendously influential this text has been. Everything from, you know, of course, Bob Dylan and Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments to the Gershwin brothers and. It was fun to find those pop culture references with the Bible.
Yeah, no lack of references to the Bible in our pop culture. We've been talking to Kristen Swenson, author of the book Bible Babble, Making Sense of the Most Talked About Book of All Time. Kristen, if people like what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I have a website, and they are welcome to visit me there. It's kristenswenson.com, and I have a blog there if they would like to be privy to some of my musings of the day. They can buy the book anywhere that books are sold. It should be available in all normal online outlets and hopefully in your brick-and-mortar store. If it's not, ask them for it. So they should be able to get a hold of a copy if they're so intrigued.
So it's available online and at fine bookstores like our own independent bookstore, Bank of Books, right here in Ventura. Shameless plug for one of our sponsors.
Wonderful.
Kristen, it has been a delight having you on the show. Thank you so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy.
Take care now.